Hey, you're up early.
It's Monday.
Monday.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work.
Be extremely careful what you say.
She's in a mood.
I haven't had my coffee yet.
Caffeine's a mood boost.
Good mood, bad mood.
I got the morning, everybody.
Why are you in such an obnoxiously good mood?
Coffee.
A great mood.
Cup of joe.
What's up, dude?
Hold your ears, folks.
Here I go!
It's showtime.
Boston's greatest hits. 105.7 WROR. Here's Lauren and Wally.
Well, good morning and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. The Lauren and Wally Morning Show is on the air here for WROR. Here we go. It's Monday morning and back to reality.
Yeah, you're back from vacation. You know, I really enjoyed using your pool.
Well, good, good. Did you swim a lot?
Lucy took a couple of dips, but... Yeah, it was posh back there. Hey, I didn't take anything from inside the house.
Okay, good to hear.
Did you sleep over?
I wanted to.
I checked things out.
Okay.
Yeah, checked things out when I got home. Okay, well, listen, things we got coming up on the show. By the way, it's very comfortable out there this morning.
Yes, it's indicating that school is going to start soon, and it's going to be fall before you know it.
It feels like late September.
Yeah,
this
morning. It does.
It's like they came in. Last week down on the Cape was very, very humid.
Mm-hmm.
Very humid. And it was like they came in with a humidity vacuum and sucked it all away.
Yeah, gone. Gone. Okay, today it's going to be in the mid-70s, and it's like 67 degrees right now. And had a couple of, there were some scattered sprinkles around this morning. Doesn't appear to be raining right now. So, you know, it's going to be a decent day coming up for you today. Things we have coming up on the program today. Okay, we will have the Bill Lee report coming up at 8:40 this morning.
You heard about Chris Sale back on the disabled
list.
Yeah,
back on the DL. But the Sox took two out of three from Tampa. They lost yesterday, 2-0. But we still got a 9.5 game lead over the Yankees, so that's good news.
Yeah, we wouldn't have bet on that on April 1st.
I know. Really? Really?
That's good. And training camp is going on. Tom Brady has not been hurt yet. That's good.
That's very good. Very good. All this, and then we got the Dirty Laundry. A lot of stuff is coming up on Dirty Laundry.
Yeah, you know.
7:45, by the way.
Yes, exactly. We have Aretha Franklin funeral news. Boy, that's going to be
quite the event.
A house for sale that was featured in a very popular movie. Everyone's going to be interested in buying it. It's actually reasonably priced.
Okay, and Kevin Spacey has a new movie that's out.
Yeah. Jeez.
You won't believe how much money this movie made over the weekend.
Boy.
Okay. All of this is coming up this morning right here. Oh, also, we got the Win a Grand in 60 Seconds.
Yes.
That's coming up in just about 10 minutes right here at WROR.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR. Boston's greatest hits, 105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show, sponsored by Horizon Interiors. Here's Lauren, LBF, Hank, and Brian.
Okay, here we go on a Monday morning. It's time for the 620 Early Men from Maine episode, everybody. So let's do this.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Ephus calls Lem with a little problem, and we hear...
Hello?
Ephus?
Yeah?
It's Lem. Listen, I got a problem with my mule. He's got distemper. What should I do?
Oh, well, when my mule had distemper, I gave him a quart of turpentine.
Okay, thank you.
The next day, Lem calls Ephus again, and we hear...
Hello?
Ephus.
Yeah?
It's Lem again.
Yeah, what's up, Lem?
Well, I gave my mule that quart of turpentine. He died.
Yeah, so did mine.
Join us again soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine.
Yeah?
Right here on the Lorna Wadi Morning Show.
We're seeing some we ain't never seen before, kids.
The Lauren and Wally Show.
Holy
105.7 WROR.
Well, good morning. This is the Lauren and Wally Morning Show. It's 25 minutes past 6 now. It's Monday morning. So Hank's on vacation last week. And Hank, you actually, you had the encounters. I mean, your whole family did.
I'm fascinated by sharks. I have the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy app on my phone. I'm always looking at it. But I'm like, nah, I'm not down there. I'm up here. Last week, I was down there. And most of the activity is on the national seashore, anywhere from Provincetown all the way down to Chatham and Monomoy.
Yeah.
So we get up early on Monday. So my wife and myself and my daughter Abby and my grandson Harv, you know, he wakes up at, you know, 5:45. So we said, hey, let's take a ride to Nauset. So we're about 12, 13 minutes from Nauset Beach. We were staying in Brewster on the bayside.
Mm-hmm.
But we're pretty close, so we take a ride over. It is a spectacular beach. I mean, it's like it's out of a movie.
Right,
it's
right.
It's this big, long beach, and they got the big wooden lifeguard chairs and the beautiful surf.
That's where we used to go when we were kids.
The dunes and the seagrass, and you walk up, you know, the wooden walkway to the beach. It's, the sun is shining. It is stunning. And so we come over the crest, and we see a number, maybe half a dozen people sitting in chairs.
Yeah.
And we look, and there's something that looks like a walrus in the water. Like that. Well, it's not a shark. Number yeah, one, that's yeah. not a shark.
Yeah.
We get a little bit closer. I'm talking like 4 to 6 feet from the
from
beach.
Shore? Really?
It's an enormous seal.
Whoa.
I did a little research. The seals get to 800-900 pounds.
Wow.
800-900 pounds. Now, that's good for me because I'm not that big. And if I'm deciding, if I'm going to go in swimming, at
right,
least
yeah, yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah.
a better choice than I. So we're watching. Now, we're excited. So all of a sudden, we see this stream of water and air blow out of the water.
Yeah.
It's a minke whale.
Wow.
No.
How could you
minke
tell?
Whale. I didn't know it was a minke whale. The people there told me, but I knew it was a whale. And you could tell it wasn't a shark. Just
yeah, yeah, yeah.
The dorsal fin is and such. And it was much bigger. You know, it's probably like a 20-foot whale. So we were all excited.
Where was that? Was it close to the shore?
I would say maybe 30 yards, less than 100
okay,
feet.
Okay, okay.
Whoa.
Because the water, it drops off so greatly, it gets deep quickly.
It sure does at Nauset.
Yes, it does.
It does, and that scares me
so,
to death.
So we go looking, we look, and there are about a half a dozen seals in closely. So, you know, we're looking, go, oh, yeah. Sure enough, I didn't see it. My wife and my daughter, they're looking. Oh, my God, a fin!
Yep.
They saw two fins. I don't know if it was the same shark. Mm-hmm. I didn't catch it because it happened quick. But it came up and it breached. It was not the whale. It was definitely
a shark.
It was absolutely yep, a great white shark fin. I mean, they described the whole thing. So we told the people there. We're like, oh, my God, 100 feet from shore. And this is like 6:20 in the
close.
Morning.
That is close.
That was close.
Well, that's what they say. You're not supposed to swim at dawn and dusk, right?
Right. You're not
that's,
supposed
that's
and don't swim
and dinner.
Near the seals. And you know what? My mother always told me, pay attention to the rules. So I did not go in the water.
You paid very close attention to
so I'm looking. And so I reported it. I reported it to the White Shark Conservancy. And then as the week went on, and 1 week, there were 24 shark sightings down on the Cape when we were there.
This is about the biggest I've ever seen.
And we went to Provincetown one day. And we drove Long Nook Beach, which is spectacular. Yeah. Cliffs. They had the guy that was attacked.
Yep.
There was a guy. He was a 61-year-old guy from New York. He was out in the water. Now, he did make the mistake. He did not pay heed because there was the beach, and he waded into the water, and he went out way beyond the seals.
He went out beyond the seals.
He was over his head, beyond the seals. Yep. And they say, sea seals, don't go in the water.
Yeah.
He got attacked by a great white. His torso, his leg.
They got him pretty good. What's his condition this morning?
He's fair condition. He was
fair condition because
he was in bad shape.
Yeah,
And he hasn't talked to the press at all. He is a neurologist from Scarsdale, New York, and 61 years old. But yeah, he's on the mend. I'm sure he's not going to be swimming.
Do not
soon.
Be fooled by thinking I'm going to the bayside because there were 8 to 10 sightings. We were swimming on the bayside. We were out on the Brewster Flats. You know. Down by Ocean Edge.
Yeah.
About a mile and a half out, which is not a long way in the water.
No.
And at low tide, you can walk out to
you
this
can.
Point.
Right,
yeah.
That's a
crazy low tide. 14-year-old girl fishing, gets a striper on the line. Boom! The great white hits the striper, follows the boat as they reel it in. It follows and swims right under the boat. And at this point, they're only about a mile out into Cape Cod Bay. I talked to a guy who's friendly with a fisherman. He said, Cape Cod Bay is absolutely littered with great white sharks. They're there, people.
Okay.
So we spent yesterday planning next week, next year's vacation.
Yeah, what are you
going
to do?
We're going to Maine.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's sports time here in the Lauren and Wally Morning Show. So we thought we should start things off this morning with a golf story. Okay, so I thought I'd possibly use my my Jim Nance voice. And, hello, friends. This happened in Plymouth, Massachusetts this past Friday. There were these two foursomes of golfers at the Southern Marsh Golf Club, and they seemed to get in some type of confrontation, altercation, and one golfer bit off another golfer's thumb clear to the knuckle.
That's, oh, my God.
That's hard to do.
You don't usually. Let's try. You got to kind of gnaw to get that far.
Listen, even if he had thumbs the size of a little pinky.
I know. That's pretty tough to bite
pretty
somebody.
Pretty tough.
Okay, because you got to go through bone and everything, you know?
Did you ever get into a fight on a golf course?
I got into not a real confrontation, but a couple of arguments and words were exchanged.
We had a group one time that kept hitting into our group 3 or 4 times.
Yep.
Holes in a row.
Yep.
Until one of our guys teed it back up and hit it back into their group.
Yep. Okay. Good move.
But other than that, nothing physical.
No. Screaming.
No.
That's usually.
Well, no, there was screaming and bad words, but I mean, we weren't punching each other.
That's usually the the flashpoint of confrontation is slow play.
Yep.
Or hitting into somebody. Okay, so we don't know exactly what happened here.
What would possess a person to bite somebody's, bite somebody's thumb?
Well, don't you think maybe perhaps someplace they've left out the part about alcohol being involved? That would be my guess.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
I mean, these weren't like 22, 23-year-old guys.
Well, the guy was 47
years old. 47
years old.
You know better. I mean, at some point, you know not to, no biting.
Okay, he's been, you learned that, and your mom told you that when you were like two. No biting. He's been charged with mayhem, and I looked it up, and mayhem in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts means, quote, malicious intent to maim or disfigure, which he did. And he could get up to 20 years in prison for that.
Oh, boy.
So there you go.
And a thumb is important.
Very important.
Right. So it's what separates us from the animals.
Exactly.
You know, that's why they yell four in golf.
Really? But yeah, you're right about that.
More Lorne and Wally now on 105.7 WROR.
Well, continuing with sports. And by the way, they say he's going to be back on his feet and high four in his buddies in no time at all.
Oh, that's good to hear.
He could join our high four club.
That's right.
High four club. WROR.com. Two number of hits the Red Sox had yesterday.
I know, they just couldn't.
God, those big bats. You know, they'll score 16, 17, 18 runs. Yesterday, they only had two hits. They lost 2-0 to Tampa at Fenway. Andrew Benintendi and Xander Bogaerts had the hits. Cleveland in town tonight. Terry Francona's Indians in first place in the American League Central. Yankees beat the Blue Jays 10-2 yesterday, so the Red Sox lead 9.5 games. Great pitching matchup tonight. Rick Porcello against Corey Kluber. They both have 15 wins. Kluber actually lives in Winchester.
He does, yeah.
Good guy. Bad news for the Red Sox. Chris Sale back on the 10-day disabled list with a sore left shoulder. Listen, it appears we only need him for October right now. That's the way I'm thinking about it. Let's get him healed up. Hey, New England Revolution fans, Revs winless in their last seven games. They lost 2-0 in D.C. yesterday. I mean, you texted me when you saw the score. What, they can't score one goal?
Winless. It's terrible.
Simone Biles. Hey, the U.S. National Gymnastics Championship were at the TD Garden.
Yeah, big deal.
They could be skating.
Big deal.
Yeah, Simone Biles, absolutely dominant. She won her fifth title. She won every event this weekend.
Wow. Amazing.
And you know what? Congratulations to the TD Garden. You know what they did? USA Gymnastics did not invite the hometown gal, Allie Raceman, four-time gold medal winner. They did not invite her to the gymnastics championship. Now, she's been a very strong advocate, and she is a very, you know, tough
vocal
young lady.
Yeah.
You know, is a victim of sexual abuse at the hands of those disgusting USA Gymnastics coaches. So the TD Garden invited Allie Raceman and her family to the championships.
Good.
So good for them. And the Patriots play their third preseason game Friday in Charlotte against the Carolina Panthers.
The Lorne and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Hello.
The Brian Bellbuster.
Mornings on the 50s.
The Lorne and Wally Show,
105.7 WROR.
So Joe and Karina are getting ready to move. Got all their stuff packed up, but you know, it's also Joe's birthday. We wouldn't want him to forget.
Of course not.
No. So Karina wanted to get him with a Brian Bellbuster. So I called him as his moving company with a little problem.
Hello.
Hey, trying to reach Joe.
This is.
Hey, Joe. It's Bernie Anfield from Boomerolifant Movers here.
Oh, yeah. How's it going?
Good, good. Getting ready for the big move tomorrow.
Yep.
I'm sure you guys must be excited. Busy, busy time.
Oh, yeah, you're telling me.
It's tough when somebody rolls away with pretty much everything you own in a truck, you know?
Yeah, I know.
So, little problem getting your trucks together for the move tomorrow. And it looks like we got a couple of crews working in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
So it's got the same streets on the forms and everything.
Yeah.
I think one of your boxes ended up going to a house in the neighborhood. They unpacked it yesterday.
Okay, well, pack it back up and put it in the right house, I guess.
You know, we were going to try to do that today, actually. The people in the house, I don't know, you must have some pretty nice stuff. They don't want to let us back in the house to get the stuff. They're saying something about finders, keepers, I don't know.
What?
Do you have like a list of things that might have been in that box so we can try to figure out which stuff was yours and which stuff is theirs?
How am I supposed to know which box you're talking about?
Did you have the orange vinyl sectional? Is that one yours?
No, I don't have an orange vinyl sectional. Are you serious right now?
Yeah, I mean, it smells a little smoky. That's not yours?
No.
All right, that must be theirs. No wonder they like your furniture better.
Wait, so you said it was a box, and now it's a whole couch?
Well, yeah, it's the whole truck, you know, a whole truck full of boxes. That's what we call them, a box. It's, you know, industry lingo, you know what I mean?
You unloaded all of my stuff into the wrong house. Is that what you're telling me right now?
Well, we have one truck of your stuff and one truck of their stuff. So it was, you know, the two trucks. Yeah, one of them got kind of mixed up.
I don't know. Okay.
It appears like they really like your furniture and they kind of want to keep it.
Well, then I'll show up with the police and I'll get all of my stuff back.
Yeah, well, you know what you could do? You know, we get a lot of extra furniture and things that, you know, people end up not taking. So we have an entire warehouse full of unclaimed furniture. So, I mean, you can feel free to come down and pick stuff and we'll put that in your house if you like.
Are you shitting me right now?
No, or you could come check out what the other people have. Maybe you like some of that stuff. And, you know, there's some shag rugs in there. It's a little smoky smelling. You know, you could, if you want their stuff, we could put that in, too.
No, I don't. I want my stuff. How does this even happen?
There's so many moving pieces and a lot of crews on the same area. It got a little mixed up. But, you know, when you're moving, it's a really good time to purge. Have you heard that?
I cannot believe this. You're going to get all of my stuff back.
Is there a big TV?
It's
a nice, really big TV. Well, it's a little extreme. I mean, they're right. They're, you know, it doesn't seem very neighborly of you. These are going to be your new neighbors.
They're keeping my stuff. What? How is that neighborly? Moving is stressful enough without all of this horse going on.
You know, your wife, Karina, she thought with all this moving, your birthday might get forgotten about.
Oh, God.
Hey, Joe, this is Brian Bell, and this is a Brian Bell Buster.
You son of a... Do you realize how fast my heart is beating right now?
Well, you know, your wife just wanted to make sure we didn't forget about your birthday with all of this moving going on.
The radio. I'm talking to the radio right now. She's laughing. I'm freaking... I'm shaking right now. That's how freaked out I just was. Oh, my God.
It was Karina's idea, okay?
But I'm going to blame you because you went along with it. So every time I listen from now on, I'm going to be secretly mad at you. I hope that you realize that.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Lorna Wally Show on WROR.
Got someone you want us to call? Tell us who at the Lauren and Wally page of WROR.com. The Brian Bell Buster. Mornings on the 50s. 105.7 WROR.
Well, good morning. It's 13 past 7. It's Monday morning. Back from vacation. So it's time now, ladies and gentlemen, for vacation stories on the Lauren and Wally Morning Show.
Okay.
So on vacation this year, you say, okay, I'm going to do something really, really different. So I took a trip to Italia. Mm. Buongiorno. Buongiorno.
Wow. Awesome.
So I went to Italy, and I stayed there. I went to visit Tuscany, which is, you know, way out in the countryside, and it's a couple hours, like, west of Rome. And
yeah, like an under the Tuscan sun.
Exactly. Okay. Precisely. Precisely.
A movie.
So right. I just thought what I'd do is this would be like a public service announcement here this morning for anybody who may ever be going to Rome. Because once you get to Rome, you got to leave Rome. And when you leave Rome, it's a challenge.
Is it?
Okay. So I stay for a week way out in the countryside in Tuscany. So I got to fly out of Rome to come back Saturday. It's a 3:05 flight Saturday afternoon. So I thought, okay, I give myself plenty of time. Because the first thing I got a rental car seat. So I got to drive a little less than two and a half hours from this place to Rome to the airport.
Whoa.
So, get up, you know, decent time, like 7:30, something like that. Leave in what I consider to be plenty of time. Shouldn't be a problem at all. Leave it like that before 10 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. That's 5 hours, you know, to get there. So, I head off, and I make it to Rome fine. Don't get lost going to the airport, you know.
Key.
Okay. Found the car rental place. I got there before noon. Took about 30 minutes, really, to get the car turned in because, you know, their English was much better than my Italian, but there was still, you know, a language
sure.
barrier there. So we got that all taken care of and get the car turned
How
in.
How do you say dent in Italian?
El bumpo. So head on down. And so then I get to the, you know, where you check in to get your boarding pass. And I think, oh, this could be a problem. I mean, really long line. So get in line. It takes like an hour to get through the line, to get the boarding pass. But that's okay. I still got 2.5 hours left. I'm thinking this should be no problem whatsoever. So I think I just hope that the security, because you know how the security is line is many times at Logan.
Yeah, you just don't know what
wait and wait and wait. I just hope the security line's not bad. So I get up the security line. Bingo. I fly right through the security line. And although they did try to confiscate my Harry's razor handle.
They did?
I'm thinking, no, that's sure for shaving. Oh, okay. So anyway, they let me through. And I thought, well, this is really a piece of cake. I got plenty of time to walk through these duty-free shops, which there are a million of them.
Yes.
And you know, all international airports, they route you through to get from one terminal to another. You have to go through all the duty-free shops.
Sure.
So, you know, a little shopping around looking like that. So, hey, I got 2 hours left. What could go wrong? And so then I get to the direction of my terminal. And I thought, boy, what a coincidence. It's Terminal E, just like all the international flights at Logan. But then I think, that doesn't make any sense. You know, in Italy, almost every flight's an international flight. So I get through there, and I come up, and I see, uh-oh, security going through passport control.
Oh.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. An hour and 30 minutes to get through. Oh, yeah, seriously. An hour and 30 minutes to get through passport control. And finally get through passport control. And by this time, it's getting close to flight time. So, okay, I got to pick this up. So then I start, you know, like really hauling.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, I'm in this Terminal E, and it's gate one. I think, okay, that's got to be good news, because gate one, how far can that be? And I keep going and going and going. And every time you turn a corner, there's an arrow, Terminal E, gate one, this way. And you keep going and going. So finally, and people are really slow clogging up the escalator, so I'm running up the stairs.
Oh, my God.
And skipping the escalators to get up there. I'm getting closer and closer and
closer. Were you wearing the boat shoes that you wore in the PMC?
No, actually, I'm wearing the shoes. I was wearing the shoes I have on right now.
Perfect.
Oh,
yeah.
Just, you know, like, you know.
Clown shoes.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, okay, wow, okay, this has got to be it. This has got to be it. And I step up and through this doorway, and it is the monorail.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so I'm thinking, oh, no, now I got to take a monorail.
Out.
Okay, so finally the monorail pulls up. The doors open up. I get on the thing. And they wait. And finally, doors close. We take off. And it's like, I got like 8 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So I'm getting closer and closer and closer. And the monorail stops. And I'm thinking, okay, this has got to be it. No. Keep going. And finally, at like 2 minutes before the plane's supposed to leave, I get to gate one. Not a soul is at gate one.
Oh,
so now I'm
God.
Really, oh, this is really bad. I think they're already on the plane. And then ding, ding, my phone. And I get an email from the airline. And the airline says, flight delay.
Oh.
Hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
I go, oh, man.
Oh.
That's good. But there's no sign there that I'm at the right gate. So I go up and I finally find, they say, and then ding, ding, gate change.
Oh, my God.
Gate 37.
Oh,
so I go
boy.
From gate 1 to 37. So I got to go haul all the way down to gate 37. Finally make it. Get there. I said, oh, okay, now I've just got an hour late. And then 2.5 hours later,
oh, my God.
We finally leave to board the plane.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
2.5 hours later. And so you go down like 3 flights of steps. And what do they do then? They put you on a freaking bus.
Jeez.
And they take you across the tarmac to this plane way over on the other side. You climb up the stairs, you get on. To make the rest of an extremely, extremely long story even longer, 10.5 hours on the plane from the time we got on.
Oh.
Then we sat on the runway for an hour.
Oh,
and then we get to Logan. We land at Logan. And, of course, the flight is like 3.5 hours late. So there's no gate available. So we sit on the runway at Logan for a half an hour before we finally get to go through customs, which took forever here. So it was like a 22.5 hour day, that kind of thing. So my then in retrospect, it's always hindsight is always 20/20. The thing is, then I go online and I check it out. Advice for airport in Rome: allow yourself 4.5 to 5 hours.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
There you go. And
wow.
Now you know.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show.
Audio Summer 69. 105.7 WROR. Good morning, this is Lorna Wine. Here we go, everybody. It's time for 720 Men for Maine.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Effie places a desperate phone call to the Bangor Fire Department when we hear...
Bangor Fire Department, can I help you?
This is Effie. You gotta send someone over here quickly.
Well, what seems to be the problem?
Well, there's two naked bikers. They're climbing up toward my bedroom window.
Oh, well, lady, this is the fire department. I'll have to transfer you over to the police department.
No, it's you I want.
Well, whatever for?
Because they need a longer ladder.
Join us again for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men Fred Me.
Hey, yeah?
Right here on the Lorna Whatty Morning Show.
105.7 WROR. This is the Lauren and Wally Show.
Okay, everybody, here's what we got coming up next.
Okay, when you're married for a while, you take, you know, just assume your spouse is going to be around. But one person really made this assumption, and it almost had tragic consequences in Rhode Island.
Oh, tragedy from Rhode Island? Hard to believe.
I think it might have been Wally and Jody, but no name.
Okay, let's take you on a little adventure down to our friends in Little Rhodey. Okay, it all starts off as a nice little day sail on a 39-foot sailboat.
Yes, a husband and wife were taking the day sailing in Rhode Island
day.
On Friday.
Now, 39-foot sailboat's pretty good size.
Yes, 39 feet. They were sailing from Newport, Rhode Island, as one does with their 39-foot sailboat.
Yes, indeed.
To East Greenwich, Rhode Island. And, you know, so they're having a good time and whatever. And I mean, 39-foot boat is a big boat.
It's a big boat,
but it's not like a 4,000-square-foot house.
No, it's not like
people can get.
So,
the wife, at some point in this adventure, fell off the boat.
What?
Yep. And the husband didn't notice.
He says.
Or so he says. But no, apparently he didn't. Nope. Thought she was below deck.
I could see how that could happen because, you know, if there are two of you, that's a good sized boat for two people to handle.
Yeah.
With a lot to do with masts and sails and below deck and steering and GPS and how deep the water is and a good gust of wind. Yeah,
I've been on a sailboat, and let me tell you right now, it's not that much work.
Yeah, but that's a sunfish.
No, I've been on a real one.
A real sailboat.
Not a 39-footer, but a real one. Like, a real one.
Yeah.
Okay. You would notice. And here's why you would notice. She actually... swam to an island, Prudence Island, which is in the, you know, Rhode Island.
Oh, so he didn't, like, couple minutes, he didn't notice a few minutes later?
No, wait.
He didn't notice until several hours later. So what happened was, she swam to an island, the Coast Guard didn't head out to rescue her until several hours later when her husband finally realized she was missing after he had run the sailboat aground at 2 a.m. She wound up with mild hypothermia. I can't believe she swam to this island. And she was rescued around 4 a.m. She was screaming for a sailboat going by.
Or a divorce lawyer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, so she had mild hypothermia.
She lived.
Oh, sure. Thank goodness.
Oh, my God.
And she'd be doing a Natalie Wood thing here.
Right. Oh my God. That's exactly what I thought of.
Yeah,
I know.
Really. Yeah.
She had a mild hypothermia from being in the water, not the cold-blooded anger that was coursing through her veins. I mean, I get it. I get it if you don't. One time I was left at dancing school by my mother. I was about 12 years old.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for her to come pick me up. And she didn't pick me up, and like an hour went by. And so I interrupted the AA meeting downstairs and to use the phone and called my mother. And I said, "Mom?" And she said, "Yes, Lauren." And I said, "Where are you?" And she said, "Well, where are you?" And I said, "I'm at dancing school." And she's like, "Oh, I thought you were upstairs in your room."
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show.
Yeah,
brought to you by
12.
Horizon and 105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
Ladies and gentlemen, win a grand in 60 seconds on the air here for WROR. Standing by on the telephone right now, Julian Flynn, who hails from Arlington, Massachusetts. Julian is a tax consultant. So good morning, Julia. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. So as a tax consultant, you advise people, you know, consult them to say things like, yeah, it's a good idea to pay them?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Okay, good.
That's such a grown-up job.
I know.
Like, you must feel smart when you meet people. Like, I'm a tax consultant. It's really neat.
Well, do you feel smart enough to win $1,000 from Century Bank this morning?
I hope so. The quizzes have gotten really hard.
Okay, now you know what's going
to
happen.
Well, it's my money. No, it's Century Bank's money, and I'm just trying to protect Century Bank.
We have 60 seconds.
Go easy on me.
Okay, you have 60 seconds here. Within that time frame, LBF is going to ask you 10 questions. Answer them as rapidly as you possibly can. If you get through all 10 of them and get them all correct in 60 seconds, we give you $1,000 from Century Bank. If you don't know one, skip it, say pass, move on. Time left over, we come back, pick it up, and you can still do it. So are you ready to play this morning?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, everybody, here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Spell vacation.
V-A-C-A-T-I-O-N.
Which movie features the song Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead?
The Wizard of Oz.
Which insect indicates the air temperature?
Pass.
Who was the president of Vietnam from 1945 to 1954?
Pass.
A couple celebrating their crystal wedding anniversary has been married for how many years?
25.
How many men have walked on the moon?
5.
What is the green pigment in plants called?
Pass.
Which author wrote The Silence of the Lambs?
Pass.
In which city is Jim Morrison buried?
Oh, God. New York City.
Who is known as the Godfather of Soul?
Pass.
Okay. Which insect indicates the air temperature?
Pass.
Who was the president of Vietnam from 1945 to 1954?
Okay. Oh! Time's up.
This was tricky. There
so
no
you started out like a, you know, like a house on fire there. You were doing very well on that. And then you kind of hit the old pass wall.
Yeah, it happens.
Okay, but review, please.
This is the good part. You're going to learn some things today. So the insect that accurately indicates the air temperature is a cricket. Who was president of Vietnam from 1945 to 1954? Ho Chi Minh. A couple celebrating their crystal anniversary has been married for 15 years. 12 men have walked on the moon. Green pigment in plants is called chlorophyll. Thomas Harris wrote The Silence of the Lambs. Jim Morrison is buried in Paris, and the Godfather of Soul is James Brown.
And now these are hard. These are really hard. I've been listening all summer, and they've gotten really hard.
it's a vast. It's a bunch of knowledge. You have to know a little bit about a lot.
I only know about taxes, apparently.
Okay.
And well, I don't. So.
Okay. Now, of course, you're going to have to report this, but we do have a consolation prize for you.
What is it?
A pair of tickets to see Teresa Caputo live. Experience the live event. But, of course, if you're at all psychic, you probably already know about her. And you knew you were going to be there. October 10th, the Lowell Memorial Auditorium. Teresa will share personal stories about her life, explain how her gift works, deliver healing messages to select audience members. For tickets and more info, visit LowellAuditorium.com. She is fascinating.
She knows. She would probably know all the answers to the questions.
She would have known the answers for you.
I know. I should have had her sitting here with me.
Hey, Jillian, have yourself a great day. Thanks a million for playing the game.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
You bet. Anybody else? What do you think? You think you got what it takes? How many of those did you answer? You could win $1,000 from Century Bank. Log on to WRR.com and apply.
Morning Wally. Mornings. 105.7 WROR.
Have you been contemplating the brain buster that we gave you?
Yes.
It's one of the most expensive things you'll ever own. Yet, it spends 95% of its time being unused. And what do you think it might be?
For me, a Gucci belt.
Good answer, but incorrect.
I was going to say insurance.
Insurance, yeah. I see. That's very interesting concept you have right there. It's a physical item.
Oh.
It's a physical item. One of the most expensive things you ever purchase and own. 95% of its time, it's unused. Would you like to have the answer?
Yes, please.
It's your car.
What?
Your car. 95% of the average car spends its time parked, being unused totally.
Wow.
Well, yeah, if you think about it, unless you drive for Uber, but I mean, like,
good point.
You just use it to get from A to B, and then it sits there until you decide that you, for 8 hours when you work.
And you get
and
home.
And then you go home and then
and sits
drive
home
it.
For like it's 10, kind 12
of
hours.
Ridiculous.
It really is, isn't it?
If you think about it, that's ridiculous.
We are stupid.
But that's why, like a ride share, like a zip car.
That's why ride share makes so much sense.
It's a really good idea. We're wasting a lot of money. Oh, but I do like my car. But
you know, Cousin Eddie on like Christmas vacation?
Yeah.
See, he had it. He drove his motorhome everywhere he went.
There you go.
That was his house.
And his car.
And his car.
Two birds, one stone.
Yep.
So there you go.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show, brought to you by Horizon Interiors.
Ladies and gentlemen, Billy the Spaceman will be joining us at 8:40 this morning. You got to see what he thinks. What he thinks about Chris Sale. You know, I'm really concerned about Chris Sale.
Me too. My boy.
You know, lost the game yesterday, but it was nice to take, again, 2 out of 3 in the series. And so we'll talk to Bill about that. And, Oh, yeah. Okay, Red Sox fans, I know this is what you've been waiting for. It's Monday morning, and that means it's time for the Bill Red Sox Report. Well, good morning, Mr. Lee. How are you doing this morning?
Beautiful up here in Craftsbury. We have a Canadian high game over. We had a beautiful game yesterday. We won 2-0. I had both RBIs, so they were glad I showed up.
You had both RBIs?
I did. I walked with the bases loaded, and then I had runners at first and third in the eighth inning, and I got our insurance run. And John, our pitcher, is he's the head drug enforcement guy on the mound. So that's I'm the druggie, and he's the drug enforcement guy. And
okay, I understand.
Hey, Bill,
we stand him up, and boy, I tell you, we're the league champs. And, well, we're not now. But we beat the team that we had to beat to get to the playoffs. So that was
well, congratulations.
Yeah, how's your left arm and your left shoulder feeling? We're looking for a lefty starter.
Yeah, we could use
a lefty starter. You don't need a lefty starter. You got E-Rod. You got guys that are coming in. You got prices filling in fine for Sale. You know, Sale's still got that inflammation. But I wouldn't mind taking 10 days rest, coming out and striking out 12 and 5 innings like Sale did.
Yeah.
You just got to put a governor on him. He just doesn't know how to pitch, but he sure knows how to throw.
Do you think that if this was like a 2-3 game race, that Sale would still pitch?
Oh, yeah. If we were going, like we're playing Cleveland, and this is the starts of the playoff season for the Red Sox right now. We got 4 games. This is the team that's going to contend the Yankees in Houston and the Red Sox. So we're going to find out how we match up. We match up good against the Yankees right now, I think. We have put them on the skids. Now we got to do it with Cleveland and Houston, and then you can start printing World Series tickets.
Wow. Okay, look, Bill. We've won 86. We 86
88.
Now? 88. Okay, we won 88 games now. Now, maybe I'm being crazy, but do you think it's reasonable to think that we have a chance of winning 110 games this season?
Easily.
Wow.
Easily. You got 40 left. You win 30 of them, you know. You're in territory with the Cleveland Indians of 46, and you know the Mariners when they won all those games but didn't win the playoffs. Mariners were loaded. They had A-Rod, you know. They had Griffey. They had really good ball club back then. They had Edgar Martinez. So this team has all the tools to do it. I mean, your relief pitching is spectacular. Yesterday you kind of got tired and didn't show up, but that's because they had the number one ice cream salesman of San Francisco.
Okay. Hey, listen. The one other thing I was wondering about. If you will Sale be okay for the playoffs?
Yeah, you can get injections for inflammation, you know, as long as he hasn't torn anything. But inflammation is a sign that your tendons are starting to wear up in that area in your rotator cuff. And what happens when I had it, they forced me to lift weights. And after I lift weights, I went out and threw a game, and every ball was right down the middle, and every ball was a double or a triple. And I'm going, that didn't work, so I went for the drugs.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Always, in the words of Bill Lee, always go for the drugs. Okay, hey, have a great one. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully by the time we talk next week, we're going to have like 93, 94 wins.
I hope so.
Okay.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.